for helping us elect what will be one of the greatest presidents that ever served this country.
President Trump rescinded the Obama guidelines on transgender. And
from the left, their base, there's a technical term for their base, bat crap crazy.
I want to thank you for finally inviting me to CPAC.
Islam and the Bolsheviks have never parted company. You've got the Muslim Brotherhood operating in this country. You've got the radical left communist groups. And they were looking forward to a Hillary Clinton presidency.
Peter Montgomery, senior fellow at People for the American Way, attended CPAC to see what the far right's talking about in an age of Trump. And we caught up with him after the first full day at the Gaylord Convention Center. Peter, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Welton. Happy to be here.
Would you briefly explain what the annual CPAC is?
Sure. This is one of the big annual gatherings of the political right wing in America. One of them is the Values Voter Summit, which is more of the religious right. And this one, CPAC, is more of the rest of the right, business, economic, national security, far right. Tends to be a little bit younger, a little bit more libertarian, but it's also got some of the religious right folks there as well.
Now, Peter, you've been to CPAC and similar gatherings before. How different was it this year, with conservatives feeling resurgent right now?
Well, on the one hand, they're feeling triumphant, and there's no question that that's a big part of the feeling. But there was also a sense of turning over the movement to Donald Trump. You know, in the past, there was a lot of sort of principled conservative opposition to Trump that was evident in previous CPACs, and that has pretty much been obliterated. The first day at CPAC featured adoring softball interviews with Betsy DeVos, with Reince Priebus, with Steve Bannon. There's a lot of, you know, embracing the Trump administration in all its forms.
How dominant were religious conservatives at CPAC?
Religious conservatives have never been the dominant presence at CPAC, although one of the main sponsors is the Heritage Foundation, which certainly is part of the religious right. Betsy DeVos was one of the main speakers, but this was more about acknowledging the Trump administration taking over the movement.
Peter, what did you see or hear that really stood out as noteworthy?
One of the things that I was most struck by was the morning speech by Dan Schneider, who's one of the leaders of the American Conservative Union, which sponsors CPAC. And he gave this remarkable speech attacking the alt-right and trying to suggest that the alt-right is not really from the right, but is somehow a leftist fascist movement that is trying to confuse people and associate itself with the conservative movement. And that was particularly astonishing because just a couple hours later, the chair of the American Conservative Union was doing a softball interview on the main stage with Steve Bannon, who is the biggest promoter of the alt-right. So it's an astonishing effort at propaganda and historical revisionism, and I think it's going to be one of the most noteworthy things out of the conference.
Peter, looking at the CPAC schedule, I'm struck by how much focus there is on campus activism. Is this a new focus for the conference?
Well, CPAC has always had a big youth contingent. A lot of college students come. There's a lot of organizations present whose mission is to train the next generation of conservative leaders. And it's again, very evident this year. There's a lot of young people. There's an effort to sort of promote a kind of hip conservatism, you know, people walking around selling T-shirts that say big government sucks and socialism sucks. And we started off the day with a sort of Jimi Hendrix light electric guitar rendition of the national anthem, which is probably not something you would hear at the Values Voter Summit.
What else can the agenda tell us about where the right is likely to focus its energies in the Trump era?
Well, one of the events that I went to was about climate change. And this was an event sponsored by an organization that's funded by the oil and gas industry. And, you know, the gist of that argument was, of their argument was not only is climate change wrongly interpreting the data, but that it's all a huge scam by Marxist watermelons, which was their term for people who are green on the outside but red on the inside. And the whole environmental climate change movement has basically been faked in order to destroy the Western economies. And that, of course, was all about justifying the Trump administration going after EPA, trying to abolish its regulation of carbon dioxide and other climate change factors. So I think we're going to be seeing a big assault on regulation and the regulatory state, and that's also been reflected in the agenda.
There's been a lot of media focus on the new levels of organizing and activism in progressive circles. But is the same thing happening on the right?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of ongoing organizing on the right. I mean, part of the reason that we have Trump in the White House and we have Republicans in control of Congress and so many state governments is that there's been a major investment in organizing on the right through the Koch brothers political networks. So that is certainly proceeding apace. It's not going to slow down during the Trump era.
Peter, what are you paying the most attention to right now? That's important for us, knowing what all you know. And what worries you the most?
I think one of the things that worries me the most is the continuing attacks on the media. Trump's speech on Friday morning at CPAC was also focused on continuing his attacks on what he called the dishonest media. I think that one of the strongest weapons in his arsenal going forward is going to be that so many of his followers refuse to believe anything bad about him because they have been trained so effectively to see anything that does not come from the right-wing propaganda machine as false or dishonest or fake media. And I think that is going to be very dangerous going forward. It allows him to misrepresent his deportation policy. He tells us it's just about getting rid of murderers and drug dealers, when in fact it's far broader and more damaging than that. So I'm worried about his use of media, his sowing of distrust of news, which really enables the rest of his destructive agenda.
Peter Montgomery is senior fellow at People for the American Way, a prolific writer. Peter is associate editor at Religion Dispatches magazine. His work also appears at the important rightwingwatch.org website and elsewhere. Peter, thanks so much for all you do for us and for once again bringing your experience and analysis to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me on again, Welton.